The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Jason Goff, joined by Kendall Gill. Coming up on the show, we'll go over the Bulls' loss to Orlando, the need for a consistent second score next to Zach. Plus, does Daniel Gafford need to play more?
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
I did not see this one coming, Kendall. 103.95.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming either.
Bulls go down to Orlando and lose one that they should have won.
Disappointing because I thought that the Bulls were building some type of momentum, seeing as they won two games in a row. And then you're going to face a team that have just lost three out of four on the road. They come back. This is a team that if you got to have the momentum, Jason, you go in there and you crush. But the one thing I'm tired of seeing, I'm still a big Laurie Markkanen
fan. All right.
But Laurie, you got to play, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, it's time. You got to yell at your teammates. You got to maybe yell at the coach, get me some plays to get me the ball. I mean, 4 of 11, that's unacceptable for a player that's supposed to be one of the faces of your franchise. 26 minutes, he had 10 points. Laurie, you simply have to be more assertive. That's it.
I'm with you. 14 points in the fourth quarter ain't going to get it done. When you see Zach LaVine get his lip busted and he's still lip throwing busted up shots, yeah, somebody's got to help him out.
And the thing is, listen, when I was averaging 20 points a game my second year in the league, I always had somebody to go with me. That guy at the end of the game, whenever I got going, I always looked to my right. It was Larry Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I would run down the court. It's me and you, Larry. It's me and you, Larry. And that's what Larry has to do. Zach, I'm coming with you. When you see Zach starting to go, you have to go. You need to be a bat. If you're not Batman, you need to be Robin.
Yeah.
Okay, some nights I was Robin because Larry Johnson had it going. So it's those two. You know, when those two get it going, then you're going to see a tremendous leap in this team. But the one thing I'm tired of seeing, Jason, is Batman only. Somebody else needs to be Robin too. And I want that to be Larry Markkanen.
Kendall, this is a game where, and maybe I was getting too far ahead of myself, but, you know, after, and by the way, we'll let you in on a little secret here. After these games, when they win, like, there's a different vibe. We feel better about things.
Yeah, totally
we high-five and we're talking. But when this team loses games that we think they shouldn't lose, it feels that way throughout the game. The fourth quarter, 14 points scored. They couldn't get much going offensively. The second chance points, all these things, all the same things, like the same ailments that come back to bite the Bulls whenever they lose a game. If Zach isn't shooting a high percentage or being super efficient or scoring 40, this team, for whatever reason, offensively has these lapses that even marginal teams like the Orlando Magic can exploit like they did tonight.
Yeah, and you see when Zach was trying to score the basketball tonight at the end of games, Satoransky had a great game, had 20 points. But as I said before in the previous segment, at the end of the game, Zach had nobody else to go with him. The defenses were geared to go and stop Zach LaVine at the end of the game, because every team in the NBA knows this is their guy at the end of the game. That's why you need another guy, okay? And that's why I'm so upset right now, Jason, because this is a team that the Bulls could, if they get their stuff together, could be battling for that 7th, 8th spot.
Yeah.
You have to win these games, not only to get in position for that spot, but to send a message to these teams, okay? And I thought that this was the perfect time for Larry Markkanen to step up and say, listen, man, it's my time now.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a slow start to the season, but I want you guys to believe in me, and I'm going to – the proof is going to be in the pudding.
And he started out well.
He started
driving. And then this is the thing, and this is what we talked about in the green room, and I'll say it. There are points where Lauri Markkanen feels like a path of least resistance kind of player, where these shots right here, when they're not going in, he still takes them because there's the least amount of resistance there. But I need this Lauri Markkanen to be on the court at all times. The guy who's pump faking, the guy who's catching the ball off of weak side cuts. He's a 7-footer with mobility. And I keep saying it over and over again. The only reason why we get on Lauri like this is because we have high expectations. He's so talented.
Yeah.
And when we see Zach, you see Zach's numbers tonight, 8-for-26, 3-for-13 from the three-point arc. And if you didn't watch the game, you'd think Zach's just another chucker. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, Zach gets in these spaces where he starts to press, and sometimes that affects his decision making. That affects his shot selection because he feels like he's the only one out there. Mm-hmm. That, like, your teammates have to know that and have to kind of rescue you from that fire sometimes. Like, I know Kendall's about to start jacking it up, and there's too much pressure is going to be on his shoulders. I got to go harder. That's what needs to happen with this Bulls team, because the East ain't going to run away from you until it's ran away from you. Like, you don't want to keep losing these games and get later and later on in the season. This one tonight. This one's on the players. We give the system and the collective thought groupthink a lot of grief. Mm-hmm. This one tonight is on the players.
Yeah, it is. You know, there was one sequence where Zach shot the basketball. Lauri ran to the corner, and the rebound came off of the rim, and it touched his hand, but he didn't get it. You know, there's other ways you can score if plays are not run for you. Now, if I'm a 7-footer, I'm going to get that rebound. Yeah. I'm going to get that rebound. I'm going to take one hard dribble, and I'm going to dunk it and try and break somebody's arm over them. Now, Lauri needs to get that in his character, you know, because he doesn't have that in his character right now. We need him to be a dog out there. If he ever turns the corner and becomes that guy, he's going to be a hell of a player. But if he doesn't, we're going to see more performances like we did tonight.
Yeah, just head scratches, because he's as talented as a lot of bigs in the game. Like, talent for talent. You're a boxing guy. We talk pound for pound all the time. You know, weight class, be damned. They throw that out. Who got the best skills?
Right.
Lauri Markkanen, for bigs in the Eastern Conference, I don't think there are 9-10 more talented bigs in the Eastern Conference. Like, you got the Embiids of the world and the Giannis's of the world and all those guys. Those guys are superstars. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to get into the 7, 8, 9 realm before you talk about talented players and get too far before Lauri Markkanen is mentioned. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure on him, but, you know, this is what happens when you have been crowned the guy. Like, he and Zach LaVine are the guys for this franchise going forward.
And they have one guy stepping up trying to do the job. They need that other guy, as I keep saying. You know, Robert De Niro in The Bronx Tale said the worst thing in the world is wasted potential.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
We don't want to see that with Lauri Markkanen, because he has all the potential in the world. He just needs to be more of an animal out there and bring it out in himself so that we can see the best Lauri Markkanen, because not only will it be good for him, it's going to be good for the franchise. It's going to be good for the city. It's going to be good for us, because you guys are going to watch more, you know, because you're going to want to see those highlights
of a guy
performing at the top level. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to motivate Lauri Markkanen. As a matter of fact, I wish I was a coach in the locker room today, because
– What would you say to him?
I would call him out. I would say everything that I just said today in front of the whole team. You know, put the pressure on him so that the next time he comes out, he knows that everybody, each and every eyeball is on him out there on this team to see what he's going to do. Sometimes you got to push a guy out there and you got to throw him in the fire to see what they're going to do. I think it's time that they do that with Lauri.
Yeah, a little professional discomfort sometimes is needed.
Yeah.
And as far as the leaders are for this team, I mean, like we said, 103-95. But this isn't just one game. Like, this has happened a lot throughout this season. And you look at the Bulls' record, I mean, we're sitting at 12-19 right now. This team should be a 500 team.
Should be.
In the Eastern Conference. And here are the updated standings in the East, 6-10. I mean, the Hornets aren't a good team. The Magic, you just saw them. They're decent, but they're not really good.
How are they ahead of us, Jason?
Well, they're ahead.
That's the thing.
The inconsistent play that you talked about.
Yeah.
We can't, like, I remember seeing Lauri Markkanen play against the Cavaliers. Was it a year ago or 2 years ago? So 2 years ago, where he had 38 and Zach had 35, something like that.
Yeah.
And that was the game where I was like, yo, they might have something. And this is when I was hosting on The Score, and I was still kind of like, I'm up and down on Lowry. And I saw that game, like, yo, they might have something here. And I still think they may have something, but how many games are we going to have to go before 14 and a half points kind of resonates with everybody? Like, wait a minute. Like, when we talk about disappointment so far around the league, nationally, people are talking about what's going on with Lowry Marketing. So when we see the 20-point, like, I don't want to celebrate 20-point games for Lowry Marketing. Lowry Marketing should be getting 20 every night, no matter what.
He should be getting 20 every night, absolutely.
Very difficult to win a road game. We had 17 turnovers, and they had 13 blocks. So we won the boards. I thought we ran the ball when we could. Had some great opportunities in transition, but in the half court, the rim protection and our turnovers hurt us. And I thought our defense was pretty good. We held them to, what, 103? Is that what it says? Guys, 103. 103 on the road is good. We got to do a better job of scoring the ball.
You hit a lot of threes. Open.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah, we did. We had open, wide open threes that we got to make, especially on the road. We've been making those. So we'll take them and learn from it and keep playing.
But, I mean, you got to make those to get them away from the basket?
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Avoid getting blocks?
Yeah. Well, we had to play over the top of them for sure. And I thought we had some opportunities that just didn't go for us.
Yeah. And your defense was
good. It's good again. Yeah, our defense is good. Yeah, our defense is good. Our guys play really hard. Ross got away from us a little bit, but he does that. I thought he made three of his six threes he made. I thought we're contested. There's nothing else we could do except maybe foul him, and we don't want to do that. So, yeah. Everybody good?
How difficult was it? I mean, they got Isaac and Mo. I mean, they had all that length, too.
Yeah.
Offensively there.
Yeah, they stifled us at the rim. And but again, back to his question, we had open shots that we could make, open threes that we could make, and you know, that's kind of the battle of wills, right? You know, can we make enough plays offensively to win the game? Both teams are very good defensively. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Coach.
No qualms with the Bulls' defense. They gave up 103 points. This is another thing, too. While we're talking about Lowry, I need more than 6 points out of Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah, Wendell didn't have a very good game either.
Yeah, so. The less offense I see out of Wendell, the more I pine for Daniel Gafford. Because Daniel Gafford's a runner. He's a jumper.
Yeah.
He's a thumper. He's a dude that is showing us something right now.
Yeah, he's aggressive. And I still think that Wendell Carter is still confused about when he should shoot the basketball and when he shouldn't. You know, because
– that's a tough place to be.
It's a tough place to be because, you know, when he gets the basketball in 15 feet and in, he's automatically looking to the three-point line instead of looking to the basket first to knock down a shot. So I think that has a lot to do with it. He's still confused with the system. Now, you got Tomas Satoransky that's coming around learning when to shoot the basketball. Of course, Zach is naturally aggressive. We want Lowry to be more aggressive, but it seems like Wendell is the only one that's not sure about where his offense is going to come from.
And we're going to stop doing the I do this stuff with Denzel for a few games. We're going to let Denzel get back on track.
We got to get back on track.
Denzel had a four-minute stretch that was interesting, to say the least.
It was.
We had our moments, but obviously we didn't play full 48 minutes tonight, and they came back in third. And I think a lot of it was up to us, the things that we can fix. So. Just got to do better.
Jonathan Isaac, talk about his effort. Just does a lot to cause other opponents a hard time on the defensive end. Talk about his effort tonight.
I think he's gotten a lot better. He's a really good player, especially on defensive end. He's got long arms, and he's really active there. So I think he got his hands on a lot of balls tonight, and he made a lot of times our passes a little went off, and so I think he did a really good job.
Their length, did they give you a lot of problems with their length with Mo Bamba and Jonathan? I mean, they seem, you know, they're so lengthy there.
Yeah, they blocked a lot of shots, and it's not just the shots, but like I said, they're beyond passing lanes, and they got a lot of deflections on that, and so, yeah, I mean, they're a long team, and we knew that coming in, but I think we've got to do a better job with our passes and be on time, on target, and execute. So,
how'd you feel about your defense as a whole there? They kept you in the game there, even when, you know, at times you had struggling offensively.
Yeah, they had Ross got going towards the end of the game, and he made some tough shots, but I think we still could have done an even better job, but some of them were really contested, and that's just the league, that you have really good players making tough shots. But yeah, I think our defense kept in this game. Obviously, we had a lot of like mistakes that we can fix, and we just got to watch the film and fix the problem and get better.
Thanks. Thank you.
All right, so he was asked about the length of Mo Bamba and Jonathan Isaac, 2 7-footers, 6'11 guys with 7 foot plus wingspans, and how they play defense against him. You scored in the league. Mm-hmm. You're not a 7 footer, but right. When you went up against shot blockers, or when guys that were taller than you, that you knew were going up against a shot blocker that night, how do you go against them? Do you try to get into their bodies? How do you play against somebody with an extremely large wingspan like the guys he was playing against tonight?
You got to use your quickness in my case, but in his case, he's the same height as them. So what you do is you just go right at him, you know, and if they block your shot, they block your shot. But the bottom line is this: if you seem timid in any way, the law of the jungle, only the strong survive, survival of the fittest. If you show any fear whatsoever, they know they got you already. So what you have to do is you have to go right at those guys. So what if they're 7 footers? I don't care. So they may block my shot once or twice, but you're not going to keep getting it. And then I'm going to pump fake you, make you go up in the air, and then I'm going to get you in foul trouble. These are all of the things that are available to Larry that he has to understand. These are I got all the tools in my toolbox. All I need to do is just pull them out.
With their quick decision offense, where they want to shoot it, pass it, or drive, whether it was, I think it's a second and a half, something like that, a second. Mm-hmm. When you talk about your toolbox, when you are going to something or thinking about doing something, do you think Larry is getting sped up a little bit more than the other players on this team? Like, do you think Larry is thinking to himself, I got to shoot it immediately when I get it, or I got to pass it immediately? Like, do you think there's time for him to settle in his game and maybe not go or seem so hurried at times? Do you see something else happening?
I just see him playing the system. I mean, I think that he doesn't feel sped up. I think that he feels like this is just the game that I have to play, you know, within this system. But, listen, I played with a lot of great point guards in my day, okay? One of the best was Sherman Douglas, the general from Syracuse, okay? What he would do if, say, for instance, Keith Van Horn needed a basket, if he felt like either Kerry Kittles or I needed a basket, he would call that play for us. We don't have that yet. And I know that Tomas Satoransky is playing well now, but that's the next evolution of his game. Hey, you know what? Larry doesn't have he's having a little trouble scoring the basketball. We got to get him going. So I'm going to call him this play. Like I said before, I've said this many times before, sometimes Larry needs help getting into the game as well, because he has a tendency to float. And if you don't have a leader that'll bring him back in, snatch him back in and say, listen, man, big fella, we need you to go. I want you to come off of this cross screen, or I'm going to come off of pick and roll and get it to you on the roll. Mm-hmm. That's what he needs in order to get going. So hopefully Tomas can watch these tapes over the break and say, you know what, it's upon me, it's part of my job as a point guard to get this guy going, because without him, we're not going anywhere.
We hope you enjoy the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show, because we know you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning. We hope you have a great holiday week, and we'll see you back here on the Bulls Talk podcast.